Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. I hope it's a nice Sabbath wherever you are. And as we're getting closer to the Passover, we have sent you all the things that you need. We're mailing it out the week that next week so you can have it early. Now, I got some comments about my last letter and then the sermon about China. And I think there's a lot of validity to what we covered, but nevertheless, let me just ring my cowbell again. So this is something to look at, something to watch, something to be aware of. Now, we all know that the whole purpose of us being in the church, to be educated in the truth, to be taught the way of eternal life, is so that when Christ returns, we will take over the world. We will be the kings and the priests, because, as we're going to see, it is the leaders in government and the leaders in religion that are causing the problems. Lots of times, just the average person out there, even not knowing anything about God or anything like that because they're never taught, they don't represent the real problems. Because they don't set the agenda. They are swept up in it because that's where they happen to be at the time in their life, in the time of history. Now, look at it from the Chinese point of view. You have all of these worthless American dollars and American U.S. Treasury bonds. Now, I've got a whole long report that I won't get into. But there are some very big dangers on the horizon concerning the dollar and the world economic situation and how that will may eventually fall out. But everything that they claim they are doing to help the economy is actually having the reverse effect. Okay? So if you are China and you're sitting on hundreds of billions of U.S. dollars, because we keep buying things from China. So they end up with a surplus of dollars. Now, they can't come in and buy products from America. So what they do, they come into America, and as I pointed out in a recent sermon, they buy properties, they buy real assets. All right. Now, if they are to be considered our ultimate enemy, and they themselves pretty well have proclaimed that we are. But we're convenient friends for the time being until they get to power. What would you do with that money? Now, if someone gave you a big stack of Monopoly money and said, you have 2 days to spend it, it will be used as real money. After that, it's worthless. What would you do? You would take that big stack of Monopoly money, which is what fiat money is, and you'd run down and you'd start buying things. Because an asset in the hand is better than worthless dollars, which will be obsolete. Okay? Now, I did mention about the 257 free trade zones in America. That's one possibility. The other one is buying assets in America. That is realistic and it is happening. I talked to someone the other day back in Cleveland and they mentioned about the Chinese buying around that area and I said, well, be careful, they don't buy everything. Okay. Now, then I got this article. China puts its biggest bet on risky development loans. So here is a picture of a huge resort hotel combination in Venezuela with Hugo Chavez. Okay? Now, they're willing to lend him money because the lender controls the borrower. Now, why would they put it into this resort area? Well, who knows? It may draw a lot of people wanting to go on vacations, especially a lot of rich Chinese, where they could get discount rates because the Chinese made it possible. All right? Now think about another possibility. So just keep this in mind. They have that. Venezuela has devalued its whatever it is, peso or whatever that they have. And they are in economic trouble. So there's a good chance that they would default on the loan. So what happens when you default on the loan? The one who owns the mortgage comes and says, I'm taking it back. Okay? Now consider this. Over in the Bahamas, they're doing the same thing. Now consider this. They have strategic shipping locations at the east and the west entrance and exit of the Panama Canal. Hello? They have in certain cities like San Francisco, and as we pointed out, Vancouver, BC, and here in the Bay Area. When I was driving up to Fairfield every week, there was this community up on the foothills there. All Chinese. Now, they don't say that you couldn't come up here and buy a house. But unfortunately, it just never worked out that anyone but Chinese were able to buy. So how many more populations do they have? We don't know. Now, if you were an enemy who wanted to encircle your enemy, wouldn't you try to do it in a very peaceful way? Wouldn't you try and have a way where you wouldn't have to risk your troops, your military equipment, dropping bombs, sending missiles? Okay? Now, can we look and foresee a time when there will be, because of the collapse of the dollar, and it is coming, you can absolutely guarantee that. And when all the entitlement people don't get their entitlements, they're going to end up being just like Greece. It took them 2 years of rioting before they finally accepted the fact that, yes, we can't continue to live this way and retire at age 55 with 100% benefits. Now, think what's going to happen in America. Do we have populations of people in cities like Detroit? Or shall I say Dearborn? Dearborn, Michigan is a suburb of Detroit. It is completely controlled by the Muslims. I wonder what they're going to do when we are weakened. You have Louis Farrakhan's Nation of Islam. Wonder what they're going to do. You have, and I don't know how many of you saw this on the news, where this one man was going around giving diversity and sensitivity training to all the government employees. Did you see that on the news? You didn't see that on the news? Oh. Well, he says, did you know that the pilgrims were illegal aliens? And did you know that America is a racist nation? And did you know, when you tell all the Latinos to go back where they came from, they said, well, we used to own Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and half of California. Now, they have organizations, and most people, the English-speaking people, don't listen to Mexican or Spanish-speaking radio stations, but they talk about it all the time. We will outpopulate you, and then we'll take over, because we're only taking what belongs to us. We're not asking anything unreasonable. Okay? We're getting close to it, right here in good old California. Okay? So then you add up all of the ethnic groups that you have, say in Florida, in New York, wherever they may be, and you ask the question, what is going to happen? Now, if you think that I'm way off base on that, and if you're online, you go look up these different racial groups. Now, for example, the news is very sneaky on what they do. They said that American citizens are now more likely to be terrorists. So then at the end of the news clip, they show the eight that they just recently arrested. Guess what they were? Now, they may be citizens, but guess what they were? All Muslims. See? So what we need to understand is that when all these prophecies are listed there, just because they don't come through the way that we thought they may come through, just realize it is going to happen. So you look up the organization called La Raza. Have you ever heard of that? Okay, they are the ones who teach the Spanish-speaking only children in grade school in California that this is our country. We will take it back. Okay? Now, along with that, I won't read it, but here's an article, Consumer Spending Drought, 16 Signs That the Middle Class is Running Out of Money. Some major businesses are down, even Walmart. JCPenney is way down. Others are way down. Okay? So the question is, who controls the money? Now, you've heard me give sermons on the super elite. Okay? Well, I've got an article on the super elite, the unelected, unaccountable central banks of the world. And did you know that the heads of the central banks meet every other month in Basel, Switzerland, at the Bank of International Settlements? And they just recently had a new building built for them several years ago, and as this article points out, looks like the Tower of Babel. And they meet in a very palatial room near the top of the building. There are no minutes, there are no reports, there are no assistants there, and they never discuss any of their business when they're being waited on for their meals. Everything is in top secret. They all have immunity from arrest. Okay? They're the ones who control the economies of the world. Now, the report is too long to read, but suffice to say that they can break any nation anywhere they want to overnight. And they can raise one currency up and bring another currency down. Now, recently, I've been watching how the stock market has come up and the precious metals and commodities have come down. Well, why is that? Because the only way they're going to make any money is to manipulate it. To make the stock market go up, they make money. To make the stock market go down, and they make money. So they take the money out of precious metals, and they know it's going to go down, so they short it and make money going down. Now they get together at their bi-monthly meeting and say, well, what are we going to do? And then all of a sudden, it begins to reverse. Now they have all agreed to have interest rates at about zero. And we are told that this is a wonderful thing because low interest rates will stimulate the economy. Have you seen any stimulating of the economy here in America? No, it does the opposite, because those on retirement and those on pensions, well, they could have their money invested into things where they could earn 3, 4, 5, 6, 7% interest. Now they get 1%. So what does that do to the senior citizens? Oh, we have a solution for you. You can get tax-free money. You can put a reverse mortgage on your home. Now, what happens when the value goes down? They're trying to pump it up, but it's like trying to pump up a balloon that has holes at the end. You can get it up so far. See? So that has a very bad effect. What's going to happen? See, they say, okay, we put this reverse mortgage on your home. Your home is worth $300,000. We can give you drawing rights on $250,000. All you have to do is write a check. You don't have to make any payments. It's tax-free. Oh, boy, that's good. See? So people figured we're retired and we're going to go ahead and live on this. Now, what happens if they live longer than they anticipate? What happens if they max out the house? What happens if the value of the house drops from $300,000 to $200,000 and now you are in debt $50,000 more than the house is worth? Now what are you going to do? So the way you look at all of these schemes is this. All of these schemes are designed to take away people's assets, to take away their money under the guise of helping them. So I just want you to be aware that these things are happening. Okay? Now here's another one I want to make you aware of here, which is this. There is a tiny ARM chip. What is ARM for a chip? You know what that is, Jonathan?
Well, it's an alternative to like an Intel chip or
an
AMD chip.
Okay. Now here, you can pass that out to everybody. Okay. Now, going to have to check this out yet, but you've heard before of swallowing these things inside that will give diagnostics to your doctor. So here is this little chip. Now, chip maker Freescale Semiconductor has created the world's smallest ARM-powered chip designed to push the world of connected devices into surprising places. Announced today, the Kinetis KL02 measures 1.9 by 2 millimeters. Now you can see on the picture, it's on a keyboard, on a computer keyboard, and you can see how small it is. All right? It's a full microcontroller unit, MCU, meaning the chip sports a processor, RAM, ROM, clock, and I/O control unit. Everything a body needs to be a basic tiny computer. The KL02 has 32K flash memory. Imagine that. You know, the other day, as I was putting my office back together, I opened up the drawer where I keep my computer disk. You know, the 3.5, they call them floppy, but they're very rigid. And I opened it up, and guess what I had? I had 2 containers of the 5-inch floppy. Yeah. Okay. And I thought, man, that's something. Then I get an article like this that has more power than the first computer I had, which used the 5-inch floppies. Okay. And it's that small. And it has peripherals like a 12-bit analog to digital converter and a low-power UART built into the chip. By including these extra parts, device makers can shrink down their designs, resulting in tiny boards and tiny devices. How tiny? One application that the Freescale says chips could be used for is swallowable computers. Now, that's in addition to the Mark of the Beast that's coming. See? So think of what they're doing. Now, I'm going to read you tell you about another article here, okay? Yes, you read that right. Quote, we are working with our customers and partners. Who are they? On providing technology for their products that can be swallowed, but we can't really comment on unannounced products. Well, how are you going to do that? Pretty soon it'll get so small, they'll put it in the dry cereal, and it will be so small that even your chewing can't hurt it or ruin it. So they even said, well, we don't know where this is going to go to, but could it be that sewers in the future are going to have special screening out for all of the chips that pass through the body and go out into the sewer. Okay? Now, let's look at another one here. Have you heard of Watson? Oh, my dear man, Watson, you know. Sherlock Holmes and his pipe-smoking friend Watson. Okay, well, IBM has a Watson. Now, this is quite something. Okay, this is one of these quantum computers that I talked about. IBM's Watson is like nothing we have ever seen before. Now, before we go there, come back here to Genesis 11 so that we get our bearings and we understand that these things are not lunacy, these things are not heresy, these things actually reflect the age in which we are living. And remember, what did Satan tell Adam and Eve? You will be like God. Now, Genesis 11 and verse 1, and the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass that as they were migrating toward the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had bricks for slime, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build a city and a tower, with its top reaching into the heavens. And let us establish a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had built. And the Lord said, behold. Now think of this. This is a statement and also a prophecy. The people are one. And where are we moving to today? One world? One world government? And that's what these super elite are working on, the central bankers, okay? And they all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Now, nothing which they have imagined to do will be restrained from them. Now, how many here grew up watching Star Trek? As you get older, you're known as Trekkies, right? Even the most imaginative thing that you saw on Star Trek, they have surpassed it. So we're all prepared for these things. And we're all hyped up on the latest technology. You know, oh, I've got to get the latest new cell phone. I've got to get the latest, iPad, whatever it is. Okay? So it says, now nothing which they have imagined to do will be restrained from them. So that's why God went down and confounded their languages. Now today, in science, computer language is one language, is it not? Yes, indeed. Okay? Now let me just read you the first couple paragraphs here so you understand this. Okay? While humans use neural networks to store information in the brain, Watson, that is the quantum computer, has the ability to use the internet and internal data as its extended mind. See, they want to, how many times have you heard? They want to get a computer that will think like a human being, okay? And they want to miniaturize it so much that they can actually make humanoids. You know, how nice would that be? Would you like to have a humanoid? Oh, humanoid number one, I'm watching television. Could you please bring me a beer? And humanoid number two, could you please make up a pizza for me? I'm watching a football game and I don't have time to get away from here. See, humanoid number three, how about it if you clean and vacuum the house? Okay? The wife can have charge of humanoid number three. And wouldn't every woman like to have someone to clean up their house? You don't have to pay. You don't have to feed. When you're ready to go to sleep, you just shut them all off. Isn't that nice? You don't have to worry about little children and changing diapers. Just buy yourself a humanoid. They don't use the toilet. They don't eat food. See? Okay. When asked a question, it, that is Watson, creates a statistical average based upon the information gathered, and it has at its access everything that has been digitized in the world. That's how powerful that Watson is. And gives a competent, probable answer. Yes, I say competent. Yes, competent. Let me give you an example to explain my meaning. If an individual earns a PhD in medical school, they are confident in their ability to diagnose disease based on the information gathered. Watson is the same. To date, it can process 500 gigabytes, approximately 1 million books, in guess how long? I remember my first computer when I pushed save. It went, it was just a 2-page letter. Finally saved it. Okay. Now, my computer, the computer that I have, which I don't know how long it's going to stay in workable condition, I suppose as long as I only do word processing, that's okay. But it's a 1997 version. Okay. And every time Jonathan comes over to rescue me with a problem. So one day I'm going to have to get a new computer. All right. How long does it take to do those 1 million books, 500 gigabytes? Make a guess. 1 second. Yep. Remember, now nothing which they have imagined to do will be restrained from them. Now, that makes me think of something in Revelation 13, an image to the beast that both can think and talk. It says it can talk. I added the word think. But if it can talk, then it's got some kind of device in it, so it has some intelligence in it. Okay? 1 second. When it gives a reply to an inquiry, the response is based upon a confident probability answer. In other words, like a human, it gives the answer it is most sure of. And currently, Watson is providing such hypotheses every day. Now, if that computer is going 24 hours a day, and all of the researchers are working with it, and they're working on various problems and developing different things based upon this, how far advanced will knowledge go? How quickly will it be? Come here to the book of Daniel, Daniel the 12th chapter. Now, isn't it amazing when you have some of these things? Okay, Daniel 12, as you're going back in the Old Testament, that just before Ezra. And so in the faithful version from the New Testament, it's 2 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, Nehemiah, Ezra, and then Daniel. Okay? And if you're still having a hard time, it's page 865 in the Bible in its original order. Okay? Now, verse 4. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words, that is everything that he was told to write, and seal the book, because he wrote it all down, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Isn't that something? Now, many doesn't tell us how many, but that's a majority of people. Is that happening today? Yes, indeed. Okay. But it doesn't tell us how many, does it? No. All right. And knowledge shall be increased. Does it tell us how far? How much? No. But if we put that together with the Genesis 11, what do we have? Nothing that they've imagined to do will be restrained from them. Now, a comment was made that it was on the news this morning that Barack Obama just ordered the mapping of the human brain. All the neurons. I think that's cover for what they have already done. That would be my guess. Now, you put this together with Raymond Kurzweil. Who is Raymond Kurzweil? Well, he's the one who founded Singularity University. Remember years ago at the Feast of Tabernacle, I gave 2 sermons on Singularity is Near by Raymond Kurzweil, big, thick book. And Jim was there, and he was recording the videos for Feast of Tabernacles, and I kept reading it and reading it, and I said, you know, I'm doing an awful lot of reading here. I think this is very important, and we have to know it. Well, I did 3 hours on it And I would say out of the three, 2 hours reading from his book. Well, I got a little flack back from some of the brethren. Now, why did you take the Feast of Tabernacles and read about the singularity is nearer? Okay? Guess what he has done now? He has founded the Singularity University in Silicon Valley. Now, how many have seen this ad by Verizon, where this man comes in and he wants to buy the Super Verizon phone, which is really going to make him intelligent? But before he gets it, he has to sit down in his chair, and he has his arms this way, and bam, they put something in both arms, and then it sizzles and pops, you know, all of this sort of thing. And that's what Kurtzweil wants. Kurtzweil wants human beings to be able to plug in their brains into a computer and download all of the information. See? Why isn't that nice? You don't have to go to school and study. You know, just go to the computer and plug it in. Hey, Mom, I have a PhD. See? Well, all of this is going to come together. All right? The supercomputer has been attending medical school since November of last year, and IBM predicts that it will graduate far quicker than its peers. What did I just say? Okay. Could it potentially take on a logarithm persona of the fictional House MD without the downfall of addiction? Time will only tell. Then the question was asked, what if they get Watson so filled with information that you go to Watson and say, are you God? No, seriously, it's in the article. And with all the information in there from everywhere in the world about God and gods and everything like that, Watson could go ahead and process this in a few seconds. And he would have to say, well, based on the information given and the information that I have, and since God is the one who has information, I must be some kind of God because I have all of this. It's not something. Okay. I'll save the Pope for another day. I'll wait until after the election. But let me just bring up again my hypotheses concerning the Pope, because you read everywhere, you've even seen it on television, where they tell you that this Pope was prophesied by a Catholic priest named Saint Malachi well over 500 years ago, that this one would be the last pope. And they're going to call him Petros Romanos. Okay. Now they're backing away from that title. And they're saying that Petros Romanos won't be his name, but it will be the banner of his work. Okay. And that he will probably take the name Pope Pius the 13th. Now, a couple of strange things happened, which I'll bring out a little later, concerning lightning and St. Peter's Basilica and the retirement of Benedict the 16th and so forth. But there are a lot of things going on. And so I get stacks of information. I suppose in a week I get about a stack this high of different reports. And some of them I read, some of them I scan, some of them I selectively draw information from, and others I just throw away. And when they're unusual, I ask Ron if he could please verify whether these, you know, this report is so or not. But anyway, it's good that we keep up on it. Let's go ahead and take a... I just cut it off.